Hey everyone, I just wanted to make a few comments about Magic, and I was actually just reading the Paper Engine, and I was reading some of Aaron Fisher's thoughts. And by the way, if you don't have that book, get it, because it is an amazing book. And Aaron Fisher is a very old school kind of guy, and believes very strongly in old style card magic. He goes back to the greats, you know, Vernon, Slidini, all of those. He alludes to Larry Jennings a lot. I guess they were friends and colleagues and things like that. And a lot of his comments just made a lot of sense. And I just want to talk about a few things. So I'm not gonna beat around the bush anymore. Let me just go ahead and say it. I think there's a lot of magic that today is too fast-paced, and it's not even that the tricks are too fast. It's just that everything. I think we're being misguided, because we think that since, you know, with the information age progressing and all that, that we need to speed up our magic too, because everything needs to be fast-paced. That's our line of thinking. And I don't think that's right, because magic is all about creating moments of wonder. Right? And we're not doing that by speeding it up. We're reducing the moments of wonder. And to me, doing fast magic, and it's not that it can't be flashy. I mean, I'm more of the school of when, you know, I practice all this stuff, but when it actually comes time to perform, I, you know, go to a few effects, and I'll tell you which one I use most. There's actually two that I use most. The Cards of Math and just a simple double lift transformation. And I try to take my time. Like, if I'm doing a triumph, it'll take me, like, you know, 3-4 minutes to present. Maybe two if I'm in a hurry, but I try not to be in a hurry. If I'm doing a double lift transpo, it takes me about a minute, but most of that is suspense. And if I'm doing a card to mouth, it's usually kind of quick, but I try to build up everything that I do. And it's simple stuff. And, I mean, I would never publish anything. I would never try to publish anything that I wouldn't use everyday performance. You know, I mean, whoever invented the double lift way back when, I don't know, probably Marlowe, he invented everything. I mean, you know, he's got to be a genius. And it's so simple, because Di Vernon, this is a great example. When he fooled Houdini, he used just simply a tilt of the depth illusion and a double lift. And then he did it again. And that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, because Vernon was known for all this, you know, great stuff, but he performed what he invented, and his inventions have become the staples, you know, like Triumph and Ambush Card and stuff like that. And a lot of it is very simple stuff. Now, that's another one of the points that I want to stress, simple stuff. And I do like to experiment in performance, but I don't like to do it too much. Because, I mean, a lot of the classics are angle-proof, they're mostly angle-proof, if not, you know, very good with angles, is what I want to say. And that's the kind of stuff we should be striving toward, you know? I mean, we should always try to push forward in our art and, you know, in what we do. But we shouldn't try to recreate things that are already good, you know? Because if people would come up with variations on, you know, like Triumph all the time, but that doesn't mean the original is not better. You know, I mean, honestly, if you kind of pitted each effect against each other, there would be some that really stood out and stood the test of time, and those would be, you know, the classics. And another point I want to make is, besides all that, back to what I was saying at the beginning about Aaron Fisher and his thoughts, and about fast magic. Now, fast magic and flashy magic doesn't have to be the same, you know? like, I'm a big fan of some changes, some visual changes. The Cardini change is one of my favorites, and the clip shift is also another good one, but I'm actually not ready to perform the clip shift yet, and the Cardini only works on some levels. So, it only works when you're, you know, standing up, and people are looking down. Like, it doesn't work at a table. It just doesn't, you know? I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Juan Tamariz. Whatever, Tamariz. I'm sorry, I mispronounced that. I don't care who you are. It's not, you know, that angle. It's not that good with angles. And, I think if you have to make up for that, like, anything that's very visual, you have to make up for. If you can't do it, you have to make up for it in presentation. And I think that's where a lot of magicians these days are really, really, really lacking. Honestly, my most brutal opinion is that you could give, like, a high school student, somebody who's, you know, just never done magic before, give them a deck of cards, show them how to do a double lift, have them practice for a month or so, get it down, and then, you know, use their theater skills and act a little bit, and then go out and perform. And I guarantee you that they would get better reactions than half the people who post magic and are really good. And that's because presentation is one of the points in which we're lacking. We try to perfect our sleights, and this is another point Aaron goes over in his book. We try to perfect our sleights so much that they might be perfect, but we're not paying attention to the presentation. And that is more important than the trick. I don't care what trick it is, it's more important. Because theatrics and magic have always gone hand in hand, but lately, I mean, it's mostly about doing the flashiest effect you can do, and magic has become so convoluted in that effect, because especially with the evolution of cardistry, now, I don't think cardistry is a bad thing, I just don't think it's being applied correctly, you know? Because you should be recognized as an artist, because magic is an art, in my opinion. And it fits the definition of art very well, and you should be recognized for that, and but you shouldn't just throw flourishes in there, because, you know, you don't want to be like a cocky magician who says, I'm a magician, oh, look what I can do with these cards, I can shape them like a worm, you know. And once again, I don't think cardistry is unfounded, but I just don't think it's put into routines correctly. And it's sad, because, you know, some magicians are really good. Aaron Fisher is a really good example of the type of magician I think people should strive for. Lee Ash is also really good like that. A ton of people. I mean, Joshua J. Oh my gosh, okay. I'm gonna go on a little rant here. I love Joshua J. Not in a gay way, but I he's great, okay? I can't even start. His presentations are so good. Everything he puts out is gold, and he is a good performer. If you've ever seen him perform, he's very smooth. Like John Guastafaro, he's a very good magician. And they're smooth, they're talented, and they just have no hesitation about performing. They've thought everything through to the point of where it's perfect, and are almost perfect, and they can perform it without any worry at all. And that's that's another point Aaron goes over, is tension in card magic, because, you know, if you're really tense, people will notice, you know? And that's why performance is a good teacher, because you need to, you know, learn to settle over your nerves and stuff like that, and also not to repeat effects. That is a big point I want to make to you. Never repeat an effect, unless you have an entirely different method. I'll digress a little bit. I've almost been talking for 10 minutes, I'm sorry. I was performing the other day, and I did, you know, Triumph, Ambitious Card, Double Lift, stuff like that. And it's only when I performed the stuff I wasn't sure about performing that I did get caught. And I only got caught once. And everything else, I was like, I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm gonna do. I kind of precogged it in my head. I said, you know, this is what I'm gonna do. And I did it, and it worked well. Like, Triumph, I did a Triumph and everything, and I mean, I really liked it, and I think, looking back, I did a really good job. And I don't think that's, you know, self-centered. I just think that's recognizing your own, you know, your own, progress. That's what I want to say. Because, I mean, I used to just perform, like, a lot of these videos are no performance. Like, if you go on YouTube and look at Magic, there's almost, it's just like the slides, and people have done them well, but it's the performance that counts. And when you can mesh perfectly the performance and the trick, and the performance should be 70%, the trick should be 30%, if you can mesh those together without worry and have it affect your audience, then you're a good magician, you know? And, I mean, like, sometimes I'll post a video for people to watch, you know, to comment, and they'll all say, oh, there's this, and there's this, and there's this. And all the time I'm thinking, well, you know what, whenever I do that for an audience, they don't notice that. And then I kind of realize that some of the stuff I post is not necessarily the stuff I'd perform for an audience. I mean, it's good stuff, but it's just not the kind of stuff I want to perform. I want to perform stuff that I'm sure of performing, and that I know I'm going to do it well, and then this is what I'm going to do, and that I have no hesitation about it. Because if you hesitate, you're dead in the water. And I want to make another point. I think it's important as a magician to be fooled. I'm going to say that again. It's important as a magician to be tricked by certain tricks. A bad thing about magic is that, you know, you can probably pick apart a routine or see some stuff because you're more accustomed to seeing that type of thing. But when you don't, it kind of reminds you that, you know, that childlike wonder you had when you first started the magic and stuff. And I think that's important because it reminds you to, it just kind of puts you in check, you know? And it kind of sets a boundary for you, because you're usually used to not being fooled if, you know, you're a magician. And when you are, it's just a little moment of wonder. And I think as important as it is for us to create those moments for our audiences, it's also important to have them ourselves. And this was in a Real Magic Magazine 8, which I got for free. Plug. They're awesome guys, Cosmo and everybody. But I digress. Anyway, Dave Williamson talked about fooling David Copperfield, and he talked about how, you know, it was a memorable moment in his career and something just funny for him. And then, and I mean, when you fool, like, David Copperfield, you know, because he knows a lot of magic, and it's not that he's just famous, it's more of that you fooled a magician. If you can do that, it's really, really accomplishing of you, because we need to be fooled by other magicians, you know? If you know how to do every single trick in the book, then you're not the greatest magician in the world. I mean, I bet even Dive Ronan didn't know some stuff, and he was an amazing magician. I'm just saying, it's also important that we have moments of wonder, you know? And as hard as those can be to create for ourselves, find something that you don't know how to do, or maybe not even apply this to magic, apply this to something else. Watch something else that makes you think, that makes you wonder, and you'll have a newfound appreciation for what you do and just certain things and life itself, you know? Because you don't want, I watched a movie the other day called Paycheck, and it was, it basically said, you know, if you show somebody your future, you take away the mystery. And that applies to magic. Don't take away the mystery, because you will destroy it. I mean, magicians today are just destroying their art, and that's because they're just practicing the sleights, not the performance. I would say get into acting more. Get some theater experience if you don't already have that. Theatrics are very important. And I just feel that okay, this is the last point I want to make. Don't lose sight of the real magic. And also get the paper engine. Trust me, it's like $30 for a wealth of information. I can't. It literally is like, it's like the Jesus of magic books. It's coming to our world to, you know, free us from the evil that is, you know, Devo or something like that. I don't know. But if you've listened to all this so far, I will give you a dollar. I'm not even kidding. Because it shows that you really do appreciate what other magicians think, and that's also very important. Don't lose sight of who you are, and remember to experience magical moments. Try to do it every day. And when you're practicing, think about how you're going to perform, and think about what you're going to say. Think about how they're going to react, and think about different scenarios. And also, you know, make sure you can do improvisation really well. And I just want to kind of end with saying that magic is not what it used to be, and that's a very sad thing. And while there is more information available than ever before, there is more information available than ever before. So it's very easy for anybody to just learn your secrets, you know, if they try hard enough. And I mean, even Theory 11 and sites like that have, in Dan and Dave, they've gone pretty mainstream. So I guess that's kind of disappointing for me, but it'll go where it'll go. You know, magic is an industry, and we have to keep with its ups and downs and deal with it as best as we can. But I'll always remember just to try to keep the real magic inside you. All right, so that's about it. Thanks for listening. It means a lot. It really does.